Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. It's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Well, it's not Pastor Butch Paul. It's Coach Dave Dobenmeyer sitting in for Pastor Butch. And even though I am built like a tank and I do talk like a machine gun, I'm just really a substitute for Butch, who had some stuff he had to take care of tonight and asked me if I'd sit in for him, and honored to be able to do it. Got a great guest with me tonight, folks. You know, we're in a twixt and tween here in the United States of America. Exactly what's going on with another cheated election, even though doesn't seem like many of the Republicans want to stand up and fight against all this lawbreaking that's going on. We saw the previous election in 2020 be stolen, and then really nothing happened in the next 2 years. No legislation, no change of the way ballots were handled, anything like that. But as we just heard in the intro, we're at war. In fact, we've been at war for quite a while. And my guest tonight, Dr. John Diamond. Dr. John and I go back a long way. I'm originally from the Columbus, Ohio area. So is John Diamond, originally from the Columbus, Ohio area. And John and I first met, even though we really were really about 35 minutes apart from each other there in Columbus. We first met, if you can believe this, when Judge Roy Moore was fighting for the Ten Commandments down in Montgomery, Alabama. I think it was 2004, although I'm getting old and forget my date, but I think that's what it was. And that's where I ran into John and met John. And here John was just, as I said, just up the road from me, a theologian in his own right. Got a, you know, not only was a theologian, he was an author. He was a lot of different things. And over the last 20 years, John and I have really kind of partnered up in a lot of different ways. But something really, really big has happened certainly in John's life, and again, I'm honored to be part of it. John has a daily show now on Brideon.tv. Now, a lot of you listening out there probably maybe haven't heard of Brideon.tv, but it's a brand-new streaming network on the Internet that Mike Adams, the health ranger, helped put together. And it's been up and running now for probably, my math could be off, but probably close to a year, maybe a little bit over a year. And man, oh man, it is really making some waves. That's Brideon, B-R-I-G-H-T-E-O-N, Brideon.tv. I host a show there on Mondays from 11 o'clock until 12. And John Diamond, he's one of the stars at Brideon TV, hosting a morning show every morning at 9 o'clock sharp. And when I got the call to be able to sit in with Pastor Butch tonight, I said, man, I got to get Dr. John Diamond in here and let him talk to Butch's audience, which, as we all know, Butch Paul is one of the real pioneers of this Christian radio, this patriot radio stuff that's going on all across America. And I thought, let's get John in here, because John is a man. Oh, man, where do you start with John? As I said, he's a theologian. He's a Bible, I'd call him a Bible scholar, but he's also, man, he's authored several books. And he wrote a book called Fighting the Next American Revolution. I'll bring John in here in a second. He'll tell you exactly when that was. But that was way, that's 20 years ago, before most of us really understood where everything was heading. And again, that's when I got to know John and read the book, Fighting the Next American Revolution, and the idea that we're supposed to be occupying till he comes and fighting now and standing up for Christ now. Christians have withdrawn and pulled away from the cultural war, and we find ourselves in the mess that we're in today. So I'm going to open up the microphone. Dr. John Diamond, I kind of gave you a little bit of an intro there. Brighteon.tv, Brighteon.tv. John Diamond, thanks for joining me here tonight. What the heck's going on, John? What's going on here in America?
Well, I tell you what, you nailed it there from start to finish. I tell you what, we're at war. We've been at war for quite a long time, and most people just either A, didn't recognize it because they don't know history. They don't realize, you know, Bible says in easy Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. You know, who can say this is new? Everything's happened in the past. So when you're a student of history and you study history, you just see history just goes through cycles. Things just happen over and over and over again, and people don't realize it. You know, you can look at the book of Judges. How many times did they do evil in the sight of the Lord? The Lord sent an enemy in. They cried out. The Lord sent a judge to kick them out, and it happened over and over again. So I guess when you're a student of history, and that's really kind of how my book came to play, was, you know, when I just went back and studied the founding fathers and studied, really, I studied 1760 to 1776 is what I was doing, just to kind of see, because you and I was down there with Judge Roy Moore, they were talking about separation of church and state. I wanted to find out whether or not the founding fathers really even believed that nonsense. So I just studied all their writings. Well, I got a whole lot more than I hoped for. I was just trying to delve into the separation of church and state question, and what I realized was everything that the crown did to Britain or to the British colonists here is exactly the same thing the federal government's been doing to us for about the last 30 years or so. So that's why I called the book Fighting the Next American Revolution, because we're basically going to have to do, I'm pretty sure, what the founding fathers did and just tell the feds to go pound salt.
You know, John, it's kind of amazing. I was thinking of you the other day because I was on my friend J.R. Harrison's Saturday morning show, and Judge Roy Moore was on that show. And of course, Judge and I have gotten to know each other over the years. You know, when we went down to Montgomery, Alabama, again, I think it was 2004, I didn't get to know the judge then, but we first got involved with him then, and since then I've gotten to know him a little bit. And, of course, now you're best buddies with Alan Keyes. And if we remember back that time when we were down there again with Judge Moore, Alan Keyes gave three of the most unbelievable speeches three nights in a row down there. So it's funny how here we are 20-some years later, John, we're circling the wagons back around with the same old guys we originally went to battle with. Now, let me stop you right there a second, John, because when I first met you fighting for Judge Roy Moore down in Montgomery, Alabama, and the Ten Commandment judge, and taking the Ten Commandments out of his state house there, John, you'd already been on the cutting edge of this stuff. In fact, you had written the book Fighting the Next American Revolution, and John, people had to think you were probably kind of nuts. You really couldn't get a lot of traction with it because nobody really understood where we were heading.
Yeah, that's right, and you kind of experienced a lot of that same thing too. So I would, you know, I would go in and I would go to like the birth of the Tea Party. You know, it was all brand new at the time, and I'd go speak to the Tea Party groups, and they're like, you know, we love when you talk about history and the Constitution and everything. Can you tone down the Bible stuff a little bit? We don't need the religious stuff. And then I'd go into the churches, you know, and as long as I talked about the Bible and God and Jesus and everything else, they were hooping and hollering. But as soon as I started talking about the Constitution, and then they're like, oh, you're getting too political for us. So you and I have both been in, you know, kind of sitting there in the middle of, you know, two groups that should have been coming together, you know. But now I think since COVID, the church is starting to understand why in the world the founding fathers were smart enough to give us the Constitution. And the Tea Party is starting to come to realize that, you know what, if we don't make God the king, then the government's going to be the king. And then the government's going to do whatever the government wants to do because there's no higher higher authority restraining them. So the good news is you and I, you know, talked about this not too long ago. You know, we finally have an audience. We have finally have people that are willing to listen, who wouldn't listen for a long time.
John, I can hear people right now asking, what's this guy's website? Could you give out the best website to be able to get a hold of you, John? Although we know you're on Brighteon.tv, Brighteon.tv. John has a morning show there 5 days a week at 9 o'clock. But, John, what's your website where they can maybe check out you've written several books, so you can they can see your books, they see a little bit more about you. How do they find you, John?
AmericaUnhingedRadio.com. That's the name of my show every morning is America Unhinged. It's based on Second Corinthians 10:4-5, talking about how, you know, you got to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And since we, you know, separated church and state and kicked the Bible out of all the schools, now you know, people think they can be dogs and boys think they can be girls. So we're dealing with some serious mental health issues in this country that are being normalized. But yeah, AmericaUnhingedRadio.com is the only really website I have anymore, thanks to your advice.
Yeah, you're jumping around a lot of different places there for sure. So, John, let's unpack some of this for people so they don't understand. First of all, John, you were one of the first guys that I came in contact with who understood a concept that I was in the process of developing in my own theology, and that was the idea that it is the gospel of the kingdom of God. There's different gospels, aren't there, John? There's a gospel of salvation. There's a gospel of grace. We could run down a litany of gospels, but ultimately, at the heart of it, when John the Baptist came, the first thing he said was, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Jesus, when he came, said the same thing: "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." And John, the Lord's prayer said, "Thy kingdom come." What is it about this kingdom principle that the average American Christian is missing?
Yeah, I mean, all the church preaches, and you hear them say it all the time, well, God's only called me to preach the gospel. Well, what's the gospel message? You know, people automatically jump over to 1 Corinthians 15, you know, that Christ, you know, was crucified and buried and resurrected and atoned for our sin. Yeah, that's all great. We need that as the salvation message. But that's not the prophecies of why Christ came. Christ came to basically be king, lawgiver, and judge. So if you go back to Isaiah 9:6, what's it say? Unto us a child is born, unto a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And then there's this whole list of titles, Prince of Peace, you know, Mighty Counselor, Mighty God Counselor, blah, blah, blah. And it says, and from that point on, what point on? From the time he was born in the manger, the government will be, his government will have no end. So we're talking
about
government.
The increase of his government,
right?
John, the increase of his government, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, I mean, you think about the early church and what the message of the early church was. When the wise men showed up, what'd they say? Where is he who was born Savior of the Jews? No. Where is he who was born the King of the Jews? When he stood before Pilate, are you the king? Yes, I am. All right, mock him, hang a crown on his head, give him a robe and a scepter, and hang him on a cross and says, here's Jesus, King of the Jews. And that the kingship of Christ. See, the churches have so had their minds trained to think of heaven as a sanctuary. It's just a place of worship. It's a place of praise. No, it's a seat of government. It's no different than, say, Washington, D.C., where you have an executive, judicial, and legislative branch, or your state capital, where you have an executive, legislative, and judicial branch. Isaiah talks about Christ as king, lawgiver, and judge. All right, so heaven is a seat of government. When you read the writings of the founding fathers, they referred to the Lord far more as the divine ruler of the universe, the governor of the universe. I mean, it was a lot more of a governmental mindset that they had. Now we've kind of just got this, you know, soft, nice sanctuary type of mentality of what heaven is, and that basically is all the church has become. So if we don't understand that You know, the whole way through Christ's ministry, read the Gospels. The kingdom of heaven is like this. The kingdom of heaven is like that. Every single story was about the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom. I think the word Savior is only used twice in all four Gospels. So we got to get back to the right message. You know, the gospel of salvation is important, but it's only part of the kingdom message. If you only preach the gospel of salvation and never preach the gospel of the kingdom, then you're short-sighted. If you preach the gospel of the kingdom, then by default, you're going to preach the gospel of salvation because that's, you know, that's the only way to really be pardoned from your sins anyway.
Okay, John, so there are people sitting there right now, maybe, who have never heard this message, but they prayed it, haven't they, John? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Was that, when they taught us the Lord's Prayer, did he make a mistake, John? Did he misspeak? Did he? Because I do a morning show here at 7 o'clock on my own podcast station. And John, I asked the question today: is everything about going to heaven? Is there a 1,000-year millennial reign? Is God's kingdom really coming to earth? What's your thought on that, John?
Yeah, well, it actually talks about the kingdom twice in the Lord's Prayer. You know, it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And then at the end, yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So, I mean, the early church never taught about the future reign of Christ. It was always a present tense reign of Christ. I mean, go to Acts chapter 17, where it says, you know, the men who have turned the world upside down have come here saying that there's a king that outranks Caesar and we don't have to obey Caesar. I mean, that's what they were saying. Hey, there's a king that outranks Caesar and his name is Jesus Christ. Read Acts chapter 17. You know, he's called the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. He's not the king of pastors. He's not the king of the Lord of Elders. He outranks everybody on this planet. You know, the only potentate, one version says. So, I mean, that is supposed to be our message to everybody, is to go to our elected officials and say, hey, there's a king that rules present tense right now over this entire earth. And just think about Benjamin Franklin's speech he gave at the Continental, at the Constitution. When it was about ready to fall apart, he got up and he said, God, check us out. The older I get, the more convinced I am that God governs in the affairs of man. And so, I mean, they recognize this. They recognize that he's not just some divine Santa Claus sitting up in heaven writing down who's naughty and nice for Judgment Day. They realized he was the ruler of the universe, and he was very actively involved in the fate of nations. And I mean, that's the idea we get throughout the whole Old Testament, but nobody reads the Old Testament anymore, so we think we're serving some other different God.
Yeah, but John, see, a lot of people watching right now, they're scratching their head. They're saying, we need Pastor Butch back. These guys here are crazy. But John, this is a spiritual kingdom. Jesus Christ said, listen, my kingdom's not of this world. He said, if my kingdom was of this world, these dudes would fight for me. They'd come down here and fight. But he is ushering in through human beings, through the salvation of men, through occupying the hearts and souls of men. The scripture says the kingdom of God is within, right, John? So we have to learn through the kingdom of God to control our own behavior, to actually put into place the Ten Commandments, that don't lie, don't steal, don't cut, and begin to spread that kingdom message throughout the world. And once we begin to do that, then the kingdom of God will rule and reign on earth just like it does in heaven. So we're not talking about setting up a governmental system like we have Republicans and Democrats. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a spiritual kingdom coming into the heart of men here on earth, and the gospel of the kingdom of God expanding through the expansion of the gospel. I'm not nearly as smart as you, but I think I got that right. You think, John?
Yeah, I mean, I always teach as a theologian, especially in hermeneutics class, you've got doctrine and then you've got application. So you read a scripture, you come up with a doctrine, this is what I think it believes. You should be able to find the application of it somewhere in the Word of God, usually from Genesis to Revelation, because it's not going to say to do one thing and then just the opposite. So what did the early church do? in Acts chapter 4. They went up in the upper room after the government just beat them and commanded them not to preach the name of Christ anymore. They went up and they quoted Psalms 2. The kings of the earth and the rulers have conspired together against the Lord and against his Christ. They're talking about Pilate. They're talking about Herod. Then he said, they said, now give us the courage to leave the upper room and go speak to them. And that's exactly what they did. They didn't hide in the upper room and have a little prayer rally and said we shouldn't get involved in the rest of the world. We shouldn't get involved in government. We shouldn't get involved in politics. From Acts chapter 4 to Acts chapter 17, they went from Jerusalem to Thessalonica, which is like, I don't know, 1,700 miles in 17 years. And it said these men who have turned the world upside down have come here also, saying that we do not have to obey the decrees of Caesar because there's a king that outranks him. That is our primary message. Our primary message is that Christ is King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. He outranks Biden. He outranks Trump. He outranks everybody. And none of those people have any authority to rule against anything he has said is unlawful, and they have no authority to prohibit what he tells us to do. That's where we've become since the 1960s. Ever since separation of church and state, this nation basically legislated according to God's moral law. All right? And then now, once they created separation of church and state, now they turned it on their head, right? So now there's no Bible in school. There's no prayer in school. Homosexuality is legal. Fornication is legal. Adultery is legal. Everything he says is illegal, you know, is now legal. And what we're trying to do is now illegal.
Coach Dave Dobemar, sitting in for Pastor Butch Paul tonight with my guest, Dr. John Diamond. And Dr. John Diamond, as I said, on Brighteon .tv, BRIGHTEON.TV, every morning at 9 o'clock. John, look, here's what the church has not understood. We hear this a lot. I hear it a lot, John. They say, Coach, why do you spend so much time getting involved with politics? Jesus had nothing to do with politics. I said, folks, listen, you've got this so wrong. Look, Jesus was not a Roman citizen. In fact, he said several times, basically, I'm paraphrasing, I got no beef with the Romans. I'm not going to go fight against Pilate. I got nothing to do with it. But John, those who were authority over Jesus at that time was the religious people, the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. And John, Jesus went and picked a fight with those guys every opportunity he had. And so we have to look at this. Remember when they came and they told him on the money, render under Caesar that which is Caesar, and under God that those things which are God's? And they said, well, whose picture's on it? And Jesus said, well, then give to Caesar that which is Caesar's. And John, I think Jesus was saying, hey, dude, if you think that Caesar owns that, give it to him, right? But John, doesn't God own everything? But Jesus did not pick a fight with Pilate. Because when he stood before Pilate, he looked him right in the eye, and what did he say? You have no power over me. But that Sanhedrin and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the leaders in the temple, they were the authority over Jesus. He picked a few fights with those guys, didn't he, John?
Yeah, and what we've had drilled into our head is that the Pharisees and the Sadducees were the religious leaders. No, they were not. They were political leaders. They were the Democrats and the Republicans of the day. All right, when you look in the Old Testament, there were two lines. There were two lineages, the line of Moses and the line of Levi. The Levites were the religious leader. The priests were the religious leader. The tribe that followed down through Moses was the political leaders. That's what the Sanhedrin was. The Sanhedrin was like their Supreme Court. All right, God was king. He was lawgiver. All they had was a Sanhedrin, a Supreme Court to determine what Moses said. So when you understand, and it says several times that the Pharisees were of the Pharisee party. They were like the Republicans. The Sadducees were like the Democrats. They were like Darwinian atheists. And this is what cracks me up about people when they're like, well, the Sadducees were religious leaders. I'm like, since when is a religious leader don't believe in God, doesn't believe in spirit, doesn't believe in angel? Because that's what Paul pitted them when he was behind the with the Sanhedrin, and he realized they were split between, you know, the Democrats and the Republicans, basically, you know, he said, hey, wait a minute, I'm being persecuted for my belief in the resurrection. And that put the two groups against each other, because it says the Sadducees do not believe in spirit. They do not believe in angel. They don't believe in the afterlife. They were basically Darwinian atheists for the most part. So how can they be the religious leaders? They were not. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were political leaders. They were lawyers. They were doctors that belonged to a political party, and that was the party of the Pharisees. The religious leaders were the priests. So those are the ones that Jesus went head-to-head with every single time. I wrote an entire paper in a seminary called "Woe to You, Scribes and Pharisees, Hypocrites." I mean, he was basically going to the government and calling them a bunch of hypocrites who made a bunch of laws that were binding people down, and they weren't even obeying their own laws.
Yeah, he says he teaches commandments, the doctrines of men, making the word of God of none effect. So, John, anybody that thinks that Jesus Christ was not confrontational with those with whom he supposed was in relationship and had rule over him, Pilate had no power over him. In fact, when they arrested Jesus, they couldn't really charge him with anything, so they took him to Pilate and trumped up charges against him. Folks, listen, I'm going to open the phone lines. We're going to go to a break here in about 5 minutes. I want some of you to get stacked up in here and maybe ask John some questions. Let me give you a number if you want to try to get in here. I'll give you a chance to get a pencil and a paper. It's 844-769-2944. I hope I have that right, John. That's what I got off of Butch's website. 844-769-2944. You can go ahead and start dialing in there now. We'll go ahead and stack them up. Hey, real quickly, John, I was talking to Pastor Butch today. Hey, folks, it's happened with me. Same thing at Coach Dave Live at our ministry. Now, this is the worst donation month I've ever had. That's just, I mean, I understand where we are. It's Christmas season coming up. The economy's tough. But Pastor Butch told me the same thing. His donations are really down. So if you could, you know, I know money's tough for you. Money's tough for him, too. And just if you could remember and send an offering Pastor Butch's way, it sure would help. So, John, here we are. We've got just about 3 minutes here before we run the break, John. From your perspective, and a guy who, again, yeah, your voice is getting more and more traction out there, John, and I appreciate everything that you do at Brighty on TV. What is it that you see in 3 minutes? What's a game plan, John, as we move forward from here? Because it's obvious, John, obvious that the Republicans and the Democrats are two wings of the same bird. Those January 6 guys have been in jail for 2 years. Republicans haven't tried to get them out. The cheating in the election took place 2 years ago. Nobody did anything about it. They cheated again, and the Republicans aren't doing anything about it. What kind of game plan do we have going forward from here, John? You got a couple minutes.
Yeah, I mean, everything always hinges on the church. It always has hinged on the church. I mean, if the church would take its right place, everything else would fall in line. But again, we've kind of withdrawn to the four walls of the church, and you know, and then also, here's one of the big things I see, Coach, more than anything, and you know this: Christianity has become the religion of nice. Okay, if it's not nice, we don't do it. Oh, that's not very nice. You shouldn't say that. You know, the bar in Christianity is truth, justice, and righteousness. Let me say that again. The bar in Christianity is truth, justice, and righteousness. If it's true, we should be saying it. If it upholds righteousness, we should be saying it. If it upholds justice, we should be saying it and doing it and enforcing it. But Christianity has become a religion of nice. It wasn't nice when Jesus called the Pharisees hypocrites. It wasn't nice when he called them the children of the devil. It wasn't nice when he called them a brood of vipers that were leading people to hell. That wasn't nice.
Amen, brother. 844-769-2944. Give us a call. 844-769-2944. We'll be right back.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
5 years ago, I had such chronic back pain that at one point I bought 3 mattresses within an 18-month period, hoping to relieve my lower back pain. I was only 40, and I hiked daily along with eating a fairly healthy diet. I was not overweight and didn't really have a reason for my back pain. As soon as I started using three sprays of Synergy One each morning, the pain immediately went away and I've never had it again. I also use Synergy One before bed for a better night's sleep. Whenever my mom has back pain, I remind her to use Synergy One. Sure enough, she's all better after using it. I've probably given over 10 bottles away to friends with back pain. I take it when I travel and never miss a day.
Raising growth hormone levels to a more youthful level consistently results in deeper sleep, better energy and mood, fat loss, and the elimination of pain through the repair of injuries. Synergy One is guaranteed to improve the health of your body or your money back. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit synergisticuniverse.com.
Media experts and prophets say the great food shortage is coming in a few months. Most long-term food storage companies charge $9,000 to $10,000 for one person for 1 year. Joseph Kitchen does it not for half that price or a third that price, but go to Joseph Kitchen and get long-term emergency food for about $1,000 per person per year. We'll show you how to take the wheat, like in the days of Joseph the Pharaoh, grind it in 30 seconds, put it into a bread machine, push a button, 2 hours, 20 minutes later, you have a nice, hot, nutritious loaf of whole wheat bread. It'll cut your food costs, and many say it's very delicious and nutritious. There is not one food a human can live on, but whole wheat bread may be the closest. If you go to Joseph's Kitchen, use the promo code BUTCH, you'll get a $50 discount, and it helps call to decision. That's Joseph's Kitchen, promo code BUTCH, for a $50 discount on what might be the cheapest and maybe the best thing to eat. JosephKitchen.com, promo code BUTCH.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling Demand of Foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give Demand a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to Nemana.com. Mention that Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Are you paying an arm and a leg for a healthy alternative lifestyle? Are you tired of products not meeting your expectations? Is it becoming harder for you to have faith in restoring your body to the temple it began as? I know your struggle is real, and I'd be honored to help you and those you care about feel better and thrive. With organic ingredients and no fillers made right here in our own country, many of which are wildcrafted right here in the mountains of Montana, we at Superior Mountain Herbs are blessed to be able to get you the best herbal products with no hassles or misleading information. Truth and transparency is what you get with us. For a free list of products available to hear this month's special as well, please call Summer at 406-274-7579 or email me at green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com. That's green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Yes, this is war. Coach Dave Dobenmeyer sitting in tonight for
my good friend, Pastor Butch Paul. Just want to thank Butch. I often tell folks, you know, Butch Paul was speaking the truth about what's going on in America before I even had any idea what was going on in America. And I just always say Butch Paul and Pastor Ernie Sanders and maybe a couple other guys were the real forerunners. And, you know, I'm going to hit 70 years old this coming up Saturday, so I'm getting to be one of those old guys, too. And we have to pass the ball off to younger guys, but I just want to give credit for Pastor Butch and all that he's done to advance the kingdom while most people were asleep and didn't even understand exactly what was going on. Hey, folks, listen, we got the phone lines kind of tied up here, so here's what's happened. We're going to have Daryl come up here in a second. When Daryl hangs up, if you want to get in, go ahead and dial that number, 844-769-2944. But if you're dialing right now and you get a business signal, it's not going to do any good, okay? Our lines are tied up. So when Daryl gets off the line, you'll hear him hang up and the line will open and you can kind of dial in. Hey, John, one of the things I want to talk about with you, again, Dr. John Diamond is our guest here. John's at Brighteon.tv. You can find a lot about him there. And, of course, as we said, the American Unhinged American Church. Help me out there, John.
America Unhinged Radio.
Yeah. I couldn't read my own writing. So, John, you also were really, really instrumental in a thing that we worked a lot with at Coach Dave Live last couple years, really. That was the idea of an appeal to heaven. In fact, we get those appeal to heaven flags. We began to take those things with us on the road everywhere we went. Yeah, we went to January 6th. Yeah, we were there at that insurrection, which, by the way, was the only armed insurrection in the history of the world, where the only arms were flags and banners and one person charged with any weapon violation at all. So it certainly wasn't an armed insurrection. But John, explain to us here a little bit, if you could. What is the whole idea behind the appeal to heaven?
Well, again, you first have to understand the nature of God's government, because if you just think of it, you know, if you just think of him as like a priest and heaven as a sanctuary, you know, you're not going to go to church to get any types of legal help, are you? Your governmental assistance? No, you're going to go to the seat of government. But once your vision's kind of opened up and you understand Isaiah 33:22 that he's king, lawgiver, and judge, now when you pray, when you go into heaven with your prayers, you know, that's what the Bible talks about, intercession. And prayers and petitions. What is a petition? A petition is where you go and you petition a government institution, especially a judge, to do something. That's the parable of the persistent widow over Luke 18, where she goes to the judge and says, "Get justice for me from my adversary." And he does that. He says, "Thus she wearies me down." And then he says, Now consider what the unjust judge said. Will not Almighty God avenge us who cry out to him day and night? So when you understand that heaven is a government, when you understand, and according to Daniel 4, that there's a courtroom in heaven, and we can come into that courtroom of heaven and appeal, just like an appeal process. You know, if you get ramroded by the government at one level, you can appeal that. You can appeal it up all the way up to the Supreme Court. Well, we've got one more court available to us as believers, and that's the Supreme Court of Heaven. And that's what we have lost sight of. There is a court that outranks any earthly court, any earthly government. That's what our founding fathers understood, that when their government was oppressing them, when they had done everything they could to appeal and to file grievances and everything out for all the war crimes that Britain was doing on them, they finally just wrote in the Declaration of Independence, they listed those 27 war crimes, and then they said, now we're appealing to the supreme judge of the universe for the righteousness of our intention. So we have to kind of wake up again to the idea that heaven is a seat of government. There's a king, a lawgiver, and a judge that's ruling from the throne up there. And we can't call him in and ask him to aid us when our government basically rebels against him.
Because that's what the founders did, right, John? They launched an appeal to heaven, to the King of Kings, the judge of all judges above the Supreme Court of the United States, and we have to do that as well if we want to see the proper governmental structure reestablished in America.
Yeah, the appeal to heaven flag was first flown over George Washington's, I think, six Navy cruisers, and it just says it was a pine tree, and it says an appeal to heaven. And they were like, look, we're not doing anything wrong here, just operating according to our God-given rights. It, you know, people don't understand, because we don't understand American history, we don't understand British history. Britain had a revolution 100 years before we did. It was called the Bloodless or the Glorious Revolution. They actually hung their king for violating their constitutional rights. They not only took him off the throne, they executed him. So our founding fathers were very aware of what had happened 100 years ago in Britain, and the power that corrupts kings, and that's exactly what happened with King George. I mean, he got so corrupt with his power, and he didn't care. There was a constitution. They had a British Bill of Rights, and they were violating, just like they are with January 6th and everybody out there now, they were violating all of the constitutional provisions that were in the English Bill of Rights. And the founding fathers and their elected representatives basically told the king to go pound salt. One of the complaints in the Declaration of Independence says that the king has sent his army in to dissolve our houses of representative for having the nerve to stand against him with manly firmness for when they interceded, you know, or interposed on their rights. So that's what, you know, Matt Trewellis talks about, you know, that if you're an elected representative and the higher representative is oppressing you, the lower representative is supposed to stand between them and the people and go, no, you're oppressing them. What you're doing is illegal. What you're doing is unconstitutional. We're not going to allow it to happen at this lower level. And of course, the king sent his army in and, you know, took their houses of representatives down. So, I mean, when you study 1760 to 1776, you see this had been going on for years, and really starting in 1763, at the end of the French and Indian War, that's really when the king started to turn up his, you know, to turn the screws on the colonists. And it really was 13 years of basically, you know, quietly putting up with this nonsense until they said, all right, enough. Here's a Declaration of Independence. We're done with you.
So, John, we're kind of in that position right now, right? Because we know that the First Amendment of the Constitution guarantees us a lot of things. But one of the things that people forget that it guarantees us is the right to peaceably assemble to redress for a redress of grievances to our government. And so when we went to Washington, D.C., they had to make it look like it wasn't peaceful. John, we were there. It was peaceful as could be. And when we got up to the Capitol building, then there were some people breaking windows and all that kind of stuff. But they weren't us, John. So they infiltrated. They made it look violent so they could say, look, you guys are allowed to come and petition the government, but it has to be peaceful. And John, we were peaceful the whole time.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I got a video clip from a senator interviewing the FBI head, and he said, can you categorically tell me that there were no FBI operatives in that crowd dressed as Trump supporters? And he's like, he wouldn't answer the question. He said, I got to be very careful what I say here. Of course there were. There absolutely were. So, I mean, our whole government's been infiltrated. That's what I wrote in my first book in 2006. I mean, when I after the Patriot Act, our country was destroyed. All right? So, I mean, here's what I wrote. I said, America is no longer America. America is now an atheistic, communistic, totalitarian police state wrapped in an American flag as a facade. All right? They use all the nice words and constitution and democracy and blah, 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 and they have destroyed every constitutional provision or protection that our founding fathers put in place. And that was really what my book was about, is starting clear back in like 1803 with the Marbury case, right through American history. And I show how they went and basically tore down one fence after another, until we were basically naked. We had nothing left to protect us. And people didn't realize it until COVID hit. And then they realized, wait a minute, is the government allowed to do this? No, they haven't been allowed to do it. But they've been doing it for years, and nobody cared until it touched you. Now that it touched you, now you're awake.
Amen. Hey, listen, folks, we're going to open up the phone lines, and we'll go to Daryl here in a second. Remember, don't keep dialing in, because the phone, we only have three lines. Two of them, they're all tied up right now. So when we're done with Daryl and he hangs up, then you can go ahead and dial again. It's 844-769-2944. 844-769-2944. And Daryl in Pennsylvania, come on in, Daryl. It's good to hear from you, buddy. How you doing?
Fine. And hi, Coach Dave and Pastor John. And I want everyone to know that I am a big fan
of Coach Dave Dobenmeyer. I'm also a big fan of Pastor Pistol Packing, shall I say, add, Pistol Packing Pastor Butch Paw. Called to Decision Ministries, and it's good to hear Pastor John on here, too. I would encourage everybody to tune in to Coach Dave Dobenmeyer on CoachDaveLive.com, I think it is, isn't it, Dave? Monday through Friday, 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and listen in. He had a very interesting program this morning that I caught kind of late, but anyway, after the fact. But this is kind of tongue-in-cheek, but Pastor John, you're no relation to Pastor Jonathan Mayhew, are you? I'm joking, because John and Jonathan are close. But Pastor Jonathan Mayhew, he lived back around 1720 to 1766. He died kind of a not that old fellow there, but he wrote a very interesting book. It was a treatise on Romans 13, whether we owed unlimited submission to the civil authorities. I don't remember the exact title, but if I could put it into modern English, it would probably read, unlimited submission to civil government, not, that it's not right. Always. Yeah. Do you want to say anything about that, Pastor John?
Yeah, I mean, I've got another book that I wrote called An Appeal to Heaven. My first one was called Fighting the Next American Revolution. That was written in 2006. The follow-up book is called An Appeal to Heaven, and a large portion of that deals with the mistaken idea that Romans 13 tells us that we have to obey the civil authorities. When you read Romans 13, it doesn't say that. It says, let every soul, who's every soul? Every soul is every soul. Biden, Trump, the Supreme Court, let every soul submit to the higher authority, for there is no authority but of God. So basically what Romans 13 is saying is let everybody submit to Almighty God. All right, now when you understand that there's a chain of command, it's what I call the universal chain of command in my Appeal to Heaven book, you have God, government, citizens. If the government is ruling and reigning under the authority of God, then we are to obey the government. So if they say, do not kill, God says, thou shalt not kill, the government has the authority to say, thou shalt not kill, and if we do, we're lawbreakers. But what do you do when the government rebels against God? All right, well, I mean, it's pretty easy. You go to Hebrews chapter 11, and you look at the Hall of Fame of Faith, and who's listed there? You have the Hebrew midwives who told Pharaoh to go pound Saul, we're not killing babies. You have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that told Nebuchadnezzar to go jump in a lake, we're not worshiping your statue. You have Daniel in there that said, we don't care about your law not to pray. We're going to pray when we want, where we want, how we want, to who I want, and I don't care about your law, and I'm going to pray with my windows open so you can see it, right? Mordecai. And Esther, you got the apostles that said we must obey God rather than man when their Supreme Court just ruled that they're not allowed to preach the name of Christ. So it doesn't take any faith to sit in your church and sing hymns for 45 minutes on Sunday morning. It takes faith to tell a government official to go pound Saul when that government official is ruling against the commands of the King of Kings.
Amen. Thank you,
John.
Darryl.
Would you say my statement is correct when I say that the Bible is replete? It's full of examples, and you just named a bunch of them. Esther and Mordecai, etc. Daniel in chapter 6, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, that's their Hebrew names, rather than Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the Chaldean names. Those people all took a tough stand when they knew it could end up with them hanging or burning, etc. So, yeah, we've had some courageous people in the past. I rank some of the people in the present, like Pastor Butch Paw, Pastor John there, and Coach Dave Dobenmeyer amongst the courageous people that we have present in the present. So God bless you both. I'll let someone else get in and talk. And thank you for being on Coach Dave on the on Pastor Butch Paw's program. I appreciate you guys. God bless you.
Thanks, Darryl. God bless you, brother. 844-769-2944. We got a phone line open. You want to jump in there? 844-769-2944. John, I made the statement, I make it regularly, that we're in the mess that we're in because we have the worst Christian leadership in the history of America, certainly. And what do you attribute that to, John?
Uh, Well, there's a couple things. One, if you follow Trevor Loudon's stuff, he shows that our cemeteries were infiltrated by the communists, clear going back to the 40s and 50s. Actually, I'm standing here holding a CDD in my hand that's laying on the back of my couch called Enemies Within the Church. So our churches have been infiltrated by basically communists. This is where you have all the woke nonsense. But a lot of it really comes down to coaches' money. I mean, you know, we become a religion of nice. You know, we want butts in the seat. We want money in the plate. And, you know, we won't preach the whole counsel of God's word. So we'll cherry pick the nice, rosy, you know, make everybody feel good, you know, scriptures that God doesn't require anything from you. You don't have to obey the law. You don't have to have any works. You don't have to do anything but come to church and put your butt in the seat for 45 minutes and fill our plate up and you know, you're good. And I mean, that's really what it comes down to. So the churches that preach the truth are pretty sparse, and the ones that are like Joel Osteen, they pack 40,000 people stadiums because they're full of a bunch of fluff. So that's really what it comes down to, in my opinion, between the infiltration. And that shouldn't surprise you. The Apostle Paul said very clearly, he said, Satan masquerades as an angel of light. So it shouldn't surprise you that his ministers masquerade as ministers of righteousness, right? So there are a lot of churches that are flat out infiltrated by Satan's ministers and not God's. If you got a rainbow flag hanging out, you can pretty much figure those churches out. And then the others are the hirelings, and that's what Jesus talked about in 10:10. They're just there for a job. They don't want to create any waves. They don't want to stir anything up. They got elders and deacons breathing down their neck and telling them what they can preach and not preach. No, you preach the whole counsel of God's word and let the chips fall where they may.
John, if you would take a few minutes here, talk to us a little bit about Brighteon TV, how you got involved with it, and the positive impact that's having. First of all, tell people how to find it, and then talk a little bit about some of the programming that's there.
Yeah, Brighteon, Brighteon, .tv. It's on the internet, but it's also on Roku. If you got any smart TV, you can find Roku app and watch Brighteon TV. For me, it all basically happened as soon as COVID hit and they shut everything down, and the Lord called me out of my job, you know, which in itself was an act of faith because I got a wife and four kids, and so, you know, but I stepped out in faith and did what the Lord said to do. And I remember walking up and down the country road here, and I'm just like, Lord, I don't have a platform. I mean, I've got all this wisdom, all this knowledge, the stuff I've been studying for 30 years, and I don't have a platform. I'm like, you know, if my platform is just, you know, my little country church here, that's fine if that's all. But, you know, we got a great message to get out there and a lot of great teachings that I'm going to be developing a whole bunch of series. And I'm like, so I'll just, you know, put them on YouTube. Well, then turn around YouTube, started deleting all my channels because, you know, you say anything about homosexuality, you say anything about COVID or the vaccine or anything else, they just automatically, you're violating homosexuality, you know, you're violating our standards. So I was just like, Lord, what do I do? And then that's when the Lord brought me in contact with the people who run Brighteon TV and Mike Adams, and they called me up one day, just really an answer to prayer. I was walking up the driveway, just after crying out on the road, walking down there praying. I'm like, Lord, I don't have a platform. They called up and said, hey, we're starting this brand new TV channel. It's going to be kind of like Fox, you know, it's going to be live. It's going to be streaming, only just everybody's going to Skype in from wherever their location is. Only Dr. Alec Keyes will actually work from the studio. Would you like a show? And I'm like, dude, you wouldn't believe that this is an answer to prayer. So I said, yeah, give me the first slot every day. He's like, can you do a show every day? And I'm like, dude, I got so much to say, it's not funny. So that's where we are. August 24th of last year, it started. So we're barely over a year old, year and a couple months.
And, folks, I don't know if you've ever been there. Of course, you got to do it on the Internet. Or he's with Roku. But Brighteon.tv, Brighteon.tv. Fabulous stuff. Fabulous guests. Alan Keyes has a program there every day. Mike Adams, the health ranger. Just a plethora. You know what it is? It's a plethora of frontline warriors that you don't hear much about. You know, we make heroes out of guys like Sean Hannity and Glenn Beck, and I could run down the litany, where, you know, with Rush Limbaugh when he was still alive. But the truth of the matter is, John, all this mess that's happened to us has happened while Sean Hannity was on the air, Glenn Beck was on the air, Rush Limbaugh was on the air, because none of them ever had much of an answer except Republican good, Democrat bad. And, John, the reality of it is there are two wings of the same bird. Talk about that a little bit, how it's just a two-card Monty. Although we all rejoice that the House flipped out of the hands of the Democrats, the Luciferians. This is a spiritual war, the seed of the serpent against the seed of the woman. When it gets right down to it, John, there really isn't a whole lot of difference between either one of the parties.
No, there certainly isn't, and this is a conversation I've been having on a lot of shows here recently, not only mine, but other ones that are on like this. Again, if you follow history, history just repeats itself. So if you look at the America right before the Civil War, America was a two-party system. You had the Democrats who were pro-slavery. You had the Whig Party who said they were anti-slavery. But in reality, every time the Fugitive Slave Act or the Missouri Compromise or any of it, all they did was kept expanding slavery, and finding the people like you and me, which were the Christian abolitionists, they finally wised up and was like, wait a minute, this is two wings of the same bird. It doesn't matter who we put in office, they keep expanding slavery. So that's why Abraham Lincoln started the Republican Party. It was a third party that was basically a white national Christian nationalist party, is what they'd call them today. And it was basically all abolitionists. So that's kind of where we're at again today. You got the Democrats who are as evil as evil can be. You got the Republicans who come and they lie right to the face of their base every election year to get them elected, and then they do nothing to advance the American Christian constitutional republic that we're guaranteed. And that's what I do. The last caller was talking about those historical examples. Not only do I have all those historical examples in my Appeal to Heaven book, but I've got modern people who I think are in the Hall of Fame of Faith, the Founding Fathers, the abolitionists. I mean, these people were all people that told the higher authority to go pound salt. I mean, think about the Fugitive Slave Act, Coach. The Fugitive Slave Act said if a slave runs away and comes to you, you better turn him in or you're going to jail. Well, the Bible says if a man escapes from his master and comes to you, not to send him back to the master, but to take him to freedom. And that's exactly what the Christian church did. That's what the abolitionists were doing. They were violating the federal law, right? But now they're hailed as heroes, right? The Underground Railroad that used to run through Pennsylvania right here where I live, they're all hailed as heroes, just like everybody in Hebrews 11 is hailed as heroes. But none of them were hailed as heroes at the time, were they? They were all called troublemakers.
They were all called troublemakers, by the way, which is what they call you today, John, even though you're Peacemakers International. Do the best as you can. We just got a minute or two here, John, just kind of to wrap things up. The average person that's listening right now, John, what would be the advice that you would give them? Because I believe this, all politics really has become local. Our local governments, our local school boards, getting our eyes off of Washington, D.C., because as we found out, we don't even know if our votes count. We really can't make much of a difference. What would you suggest to the average person listening tonight who would really try to make a difference in these times in which we find ourselves?
Well, we're waiting for somebody higher up to come and save us other than, Christ himself. Everything's got to be bottom up. We got to be active in our political committees. There's a thing called the precinct strategy where, when I ran for House of Representatives there in Columbus, it was 126 people that nobody knows that decided who gets to run for office, who the people get a vote for. So getting involved at the very low level, whether it's a school board, getting involved with your precinct and the county commissioners, there's a lot of low-level stuff that people can do to really get involved, if we're just talking totally political. But you really, I mean, it's far more spiritual. You need to understand that divine chain of command. You need to understand that God, when I was in the military, there were times that I would have two people higher ranking than me tell me to do something, and they contradicted one another. I just had to obey the higher authority. So if the general said to do something and the sergeant said to do something, I'll obey the higher authority. That's what our founding fathers of the faith did. We must obey God rather than man.
Kingdom of God against the kingdom of darkness. John Diamond, God bless you. Folks, thanks for tuning in. Send Butch $20. Help him stay on the air. God bless you, folks.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.